Dudes and Mice podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy Mike Eagle is there as well. Dudes and Mice podcast. Dudes and Mice.
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. Happy Max Fun Drive, y'all. I'm, we're live, Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the Rebel Smart Danielle Radford.
Oh, hello.
And the Beast of Taco Bell Fast Food.
That's a lot.
Julian Burrell.
You had to read that one to get it.
I had to read it again. And I was like, I'm going back. And then I said, no. Julian, welcome.
Oh, it's good to be back, guys.
Producer Julian in the studio.
Mike, yes. Please come back. I don't want to ever do this again. This is so scary.
This is beautiful. All right. Somehow, some way, we've survived these 13 plus hours of nonstop wrestling from NXT, Supercard, Impact versus Lucha, WrestleMania, Raw, and SmackDown.
The 13 plus hours weren't just from WrestleMania?
No. No. Oh, my gosh.
That was but a fraction, but a drop in the bucket.
Welcome to my houses. What better place to start than what many would consider the show of the weekend? I mean, there's like, if you don't think this is the show of the weekend, you maybe need to give it another look. I'm not going to judge you personally. I'm just going to say, give it another look. NXT TakeOver New Orleans was like five matches in 2 hours, all of them done beautifully.
Yeah, TakeOver always is like, oh, you think you came to watch what?
Yeah.
Hold my beer.
As far as great TakeOvers go, and there have been a lot of them, this was probably my favorite one ever.
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing.
Listen,
I agree. And I mean, we all know TakeOver Brooklyn was amazing. There have been some really good TakeOvers. Mm-hmm. This one, they, my mom would say when she was eating good food, they put their foot in it.
I got it. No.
Julian's from Alabama. He gets it.
Despite what people think, I've watched a lot of wrestling from other promotions, including Wrestle King main events that got 800 stars from Meltzer. And I will tell you right now, and I will...
The Wrestle King, is he related to the Burger King?
Yeah. And the Burgermeister. Just their cousin. I will argue this with anybody, that Gargano Ciampa is the greatest wrestling match I have ever seen of all time. Ooh. Eclipses Steamboat Savage at WrestleMania 3 for me. Eclipses any Michaels Hart bout. Eclipses Michaels Undertaker. Eclipses End of an Era. Eclipses Omega versus whoever you pick for him to face. Mm-hmm. I will put this up against any of them in terms of year-long storytelling and how the match went down. Pitch perfect, A to Z, all the way through.
Don't disagree with you. And also, someone did one of those, like, because there's a lot of people online who do some amazing gifts, and unfortunately I don't remember this person's name, but if y'all tag me and remind me, like, hey, Danielle, remind me of who did this, I will link you to the tweet. But he did a tweet where he linked someone's thing where they showed the parallels between when they sat on the floor, like on the ring together and hugged.
On the CWC, right?
Yeah, and then when they tried to do it again.
Yeah.
And Ciampa was like, you broke my heart. You ruined everything. You blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Consummate heel.
It's still continuing.
But like still, like in a way where even people in the comments were like, don't do it. Don't make me feel sorry for you. Don't do this.
Well, because I got to say, what made this match special to me, aside from technical mastery, every move was hit very crisply, it was very snug, and it was hard-hitting, all that stuff was great. But there's a saying that you don't remember matches, you remember moments. And for me, this match holds the very special distinction that it is the first wrestling match that I ever cried at. And that's at the ending.
Welcome to the club, my dude!
This was the first one. It's like, I've seen great matches before, but that part where Gargano has the broken crutch, and he's gonna just wail on Ciampa to end the thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, here we go, and there's the finish. And then he just stops, and you just see like the acting from Ciampa, his facial expressions, and Gargano's like, is there any part of my best friend still in there? Like, is there anything? And it's just that moment of he would forgive him right there. That one got me, and I've just started like, oh my God, like, oh no.
Those are those moments.
Yeah, and it's...
You're right, because at the end of the day, the only time I'm really having a discussion about who should have won or who should have lost a match is if the emotion of the match didn't take me there. And I'm the person who, during the third act of Marvel movies, I love wrestling, and I'm even like, ugh, can we hurry along the fight? Because there's nothing to it but spectacle, and I need more.
Yeah.
I need some kind of emotional something.
You know, I'm going to go watch it again. I'll be right back, guys.
Yeah, right?
You don't have to do this. I know you hate the being in the booth person. You can go.
I'm actually watching TakeOver whenever I'm out there. You guys think I'm working.
That's
I'm
right.
really just watching TakeOver.
Oh, we know. Oh, we know. That match was...
Oh, we know. We know. We know.
That match was so incredible that it's easy to forget that Sunday was also a big night for the Undisputed Era as well. Let's talk for a second about this ladder match for the North American Championship. Adam Cole beat out Velveteen Dream, Lars Sullivan, Killian Dane, and the debuting EC3 and Ricochet to claim his first championship in the WWE. This was the opening match.
God damn.
Oh, so good.
And you know, everybody, I remember right after that match, they were like, imagine having to follow this match. And every single fucking match did.
Yeah.
It worked.
And like, it wasn't even one of those snarky things. It was just people literally being like, what? Like our jaws are just like our faces have fallen off. We're like, bleh.
Yeah, did they empty the chamber too early? Like type of thing.
Yeah,
but
like worried.
Didn't.
And then like... every time, like ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. It's like, oh. This, I mean, not to, Supercard of Honor was also fun, but this wasn't a Supercard.
Yeah.
This is like the prime example of why setting up a character and why I should care about them is so important. Mm-hmm. I am not at all familiar. I saw EC3 on an episode of Impact once for 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That is the extent of seeing him before he was in NXT.
True.
In one appearance on the show, his participation in that match, I understand who the character is, and the commentators did a great job with it, and I respect him as a performer instantly. I'm like, oh, this is a guy. Help. He's going to be one of the guys who carries this brand. You can tell right away that he is a guy that they are going to go with unless he winds up being somehow a head case.
Yeah, and Hal, I remember last week you said that EC3 would have been a great choice to win this match, and I do agree that he definitely would have been, but I think that now this was the beginning of Undisputed Era essentially being a faction to be reckoned with.
Right.
I think Adam Cole was a great choice to go up there and get that awesome throwback title that they had up there. And even, I thought Ricochet, this was the first time a mass NXT audience got to see him work. Yeah. I thought he had a great showing. He got, like, whether they were doing a test of strength by throwing him around or whether he was doing a moonsault off of a ladder onto the crowd of people, it was just... Everybody in this got to get their shit in, and it worked. It all worked.
Yeah. Ricochet performed beautifully. And I saw, like, there weren't, and to be fair, an NXT crowd is really good about being like, I know they have a story, so I'm going to just hang back and watch it.
Right.
Like, some people were like, oh, I wish that, like, Ricochet would have won, or he would have come in and dominated, or blah, 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 blah. But most people were like, nah, it's NXT.
Yeah.
We know this is going to work.
Yeah.
I ain't worried about it. I'm going to just sit back and enjoy it. And doesn't it feel nice to just have the confidence to say I'm just going to sit back and enjoy something?
Yeah.
And it's also, it's really nice, like, the part of it for me where I have faith is we know Ricochet can deliver in the ring. I've seen him wrestle outside of WWE. I know how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was every bit as good, even if he didn't show off his full moveset, which nobody ever does in any match. But, you know, he showed enough to prove why he's there and why he's so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust NXT to build his character on that so that I care about him personally outside of, boy, the guy who does cool moves is here. Cole pulled double duty on Saturday with Bobby Fish injured. He had to defend the NXT Tag Team Championships with Kyle O'Reilly in a triple threat against the Authors of Pain and Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. It looked like Dunne would come away with the win for his team when this happened. So Roderick Strong is officially part of the Undisputed Era. Again, we talk about character development.
Yeah.
A guy has been taking L's and then...
Yeah. I was so worried for Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know his whole thing was, I'm a guy who's got a good heart and I've been dealt a lot of bad hands in life, but I've got a family that I'm fighting for.
Right.
But the thing is, Johnny Gargano and Daniel Bryan have that market cornered. Like, there is no one who can stand out when you have two of the most over people in the entire company already with that.
Working the heart angle.
Right. So, like, I thought this was just great for him to be on a squad of three other talented guys. They're going to run roughshod because they are kind of got that gang mentality of armbands and shit like that. I thought that's great.
And that can always change.
Yes.
It can always change. It could always move around. Something could happen. He could always get his heart back, and then we don't care at that point.
Yeah.
Pete Dunne has hinted that he might call on his friends Tyler Bate and Trent Seven help him out. Are you in for this kind of like, because you need factions. NXT seems to work well with factions. You've got Sanity, and now you've got the Undisputed Era.
It's so interesting because it does, and it is part of like teaching people to learn that hey, when you get up on the main roster, you might be paired with other folks, so don't assume you're just going to be like a solo person.
Yeah.
But I feel like in the last few years, since they've been in their kind of regrouping era, we've gotten even more of that, and I fucking love it.
Yeah.
It's like the X-Men.
Yeah, exactly. It's like X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue, X-Men Red. And
yeah.
Sometimes
they spar.
Yeah.
Which group is the Great Lakes Avengers of these factions? Which one? The one you have to go to Wikipedia to look up? Yeah,
the ones like, which one joined and then left about a month later one issue?
Great Lakes Avengers has been written really funny, and if you can at me at that too, and I will tell you.
It's all right. We're the West Coast Avengers, so all good.
You could just hear Danielle pushing her glasses up on that. You can hear it happening.
But that was a really good one. Okay, anyway. Sorry.
Just to say about British Strong Style, they kind of haven't really gotten a chance to like do anything on NXT television proper. Right. It's sort of just been Bate and Dunne will have a match, and then Trent Seven will come in and have a quick tag match with Bate. So I kind of would like to see the three of them kind of reunite because they're really talented. They're really like funny, but they're also really hard hitting. Americans love British people doing British things, so I feel like they could actually get a handle on that and actually get pretty over with this crowd.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the titles that were lost, both of them. Starting with Ember Moon losing to Shayna Baszler. So now Ember Moon has gone up to the main roster. She made her debut on Raw, tagging with Nia Jax. Where do you go with Shayna Baszler from here? Do you have her just run through the entire division? Who do you send to work with her to not only help build her up, but is she in a position to create stars right now, or do they still need to build her? Danielle?
Oh, this is really hard because I do think that she's very impressive. Occasionally a division is going to get gutted, and the NXT women's division has been gutted once again. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're all in a rebuilding period. But wow. I do think that she is the strongest person on the roster to put at the head of that.
Yeah. I really like a good bully character, which they have done a great job of letting Shayna be.
Agreed.
Like throughout her entire time there. Like I've seen some people say like, oh, well, she can't do a wrestling. Like, why isn't she doing like a Irish whip? Does that? I'm like, because she's not really supposed to. She's clearly thinking that she is above wrestling.
Right.
Why would she get into doing like a normal like wrestling type move?
I think that her not doing those things is them protecting her and saying like, look, she's going to be the person that's like more grounded in a reality-based wrestling, and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Right.
It sets her apart from everyone else, and especially now they've brought in Rousey, obviously, she's going to be learning to do everything, and they're going to make her as well-rounded as possible. So why not give one of the other MMA ladies something that sets her out and makes her different?
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. We'll see where it goes.
100%.
Let's move on. Andrade Cien Almas lost the title to Aleister Black in another fantastic match that did not close the show because it could not have topped Gargano Ciampa again.
Right move.
Great booking.
Sometimes
put your biggest
you know
pop at the end.
When you put the things that are based in emotion at the end.
Yeah. Where do you take Almas from here?
I was really shocked that he didn't debut on SmackDown or Raw this week. I really thought that they were ready to call him up, but I guess maybe they want to milk the program a little bit longer with him and Aleister,
right.
I guess. I really do. I have a soft spot in my heart for Andrade and Zelina. After Alberto Del Rio left to go do his own thing elsewhere, I feel like I really wanted like a great, and I'm a half Mexican dude, so I really wanted another Mexican star to kind of like come in and really get that audience going. Like
absolutely. Like WWE is obviously trying to branch out into other markets, but it's also like, you know, there's also just like Latin people here in America.
Yeah.
And so maybe let's have more of Latin folks be stars.
And right. Zelina is
that's
a...
pretty fucking... Zelina is a star.
Good God, what a mouthpiece for him. And just the fact that she knows how to wrestle, too. Like, I want them to have...
She is
two...
a monster.
Like, I envision them both on the roster where they she's a woman's champion and he's, like, the IC champion to start out. I think they would just be great as, like, just, like, that cup, that power couple that just runs roughshod on the big card
scene. The one that probably maybe should have been Rusev and Lana, but hasn't quite gelled to be that way.
Yeah, it hasn't quite, because Zelina is like, I haven't seen Lana work extensively, but I think Zelina right now has shown that she's a better wrestler.
She is a better wrestler.
I see her as a babyface down the road very soon. I mean,
agree.
She's beautiful and she's talented, so that's really, that takes you a long way.
And she can talk, and you can talk?
Yes.
Very quickly, let's go through a few things outside of WWE that happened before Mania, because we have so much to get to. We're not even a little way through it. Impact versus Lucha. Very quickly, Danielle, did you watch and enjoy this show?
I got to see some of the highlights. It was very, very fun. I'm looking for, I had a wedding on Saturday, and so that cut so much of what I could watch, and so I'm doing some catch up on WrestleMania weekend. And
so you only got to watch 20 of the 27 hours of wrestling that there were.
Yeah, so I only got to watch and I was tired when I watched it too, so I wish I could comment more.
Okay. Yeah. Alberto El Patron, a.k.a. Alberto Del Rio, no-showed the main event for the
night.
And
they booed his name out the fucking building.
And also, his contract got shredded up and sent away. He got his ass fired. Yeah. Is anybody here even remotely interested in what he does next at this point?
Fucking makes me sad, man.
It does. He had such potential.
Oh, I was such a fan of this guy. Like, I don't think I've ever told you guys this, but I was a really big fan of Del Rio when he was just starting... Like, people forget, but they really strapped the rocket to this guy. In 1 year, I think it was either 2011 or 2012, he won the Royal Rumble.
2011.
He won, he had a match against Edge, for who was at the time the top babyface champion on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And then after that, he ended up winning Money in the Bank. He cashed in on CM Punk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and then a year later, he ended up proving that he could actually be a great babyface when he won the World Heavyweight Championship, and he... wrestled up against Jack Swagger, against basically, you know, the politics that everybody hates nowadays at WrestleMania. So I was a big fan of the guy, and I cannot believe he ended up being trash incarnate, apparently, between everything we know about his personal life and all of this stuff. So I'm like, just let dogs lie. I'm done with him.
And he has... He's got restaurants, at least one. I know that he's doing some work with an MMA company. Mm-hmm. I'm not wondering if he's just like, well, I'm done with wrestling. If they don't love me, I don't love them, and I'm going to go do MMA.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, one last item of note. The Young Bucks interfered with Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes' match at Supercard of Honor.
True story.
Can you give a very brief 30 seconds or less follow-up on this?
Okay, so during being the Elite, at the end of this, you can see Brandy, and she's in the back, I believe she's with Flip Wilson. I think they're going to do an amnesia angle or something with her, where like her and Flip are best friends. And she thinks that they're best friends because he's like, hey, is there anything that I can do for you? And she's like, no, I don't need anything. I just need your friendship. And like, she can't really see. And it's clear that she has a concussion. And so Flip Wilson is the guy from the
60s. I was going to say.
Yeah, no, Flip Gordon. Flip Wilson's the guy from the 60s.
Here comes the judge.
Speaking of brain damage. But so I think they're doing something where they're going to talk about her having some kind of brain injury from what happened and work into an amnesia angle. And, you know, I love soap shit. I am all into an amnesia angle. And then also, at the end of it, we had Cody. He was celebrating his win, his stupid win in the back, and everyone was there with him, and he's like, hey, let's hang out. Where's Brandy? Where's everyone? He's not even looking for Brandy or seeing if she's hurt, even though she clearly took a really bad bump. The Bucks like talked to Kenny and were like, Kenny, we're so sorry, and it's always about the Elite. And he's like, the Elite is over. And then they go back to Cody and they're like, no, we gotta go talk to Kenny again. And Ibushi was also like, hey, that's my man's, like getting in between. It was an interesting thing. And so in the end, you leave it with everyone, even Bernard, the bear.
Not the bear.
Even the bear, leaving Cody all by himself in what looked like some weird, like, hospitality suite inside a hotel. At the end, where they're usually like, we hoped you like this. Go to here. Go to there. Do that. It was just like a really sad voiceover that was like, we hoped you liked it. Okay, bye.
It's all clearly leading to Chicago in just a few months, so we'll see what happens.
Well, there you have it. Exactly 30 seconds of recap to that match. If you've got any thoughts on everything that kicked off WrestleMania weekend, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram, too. When we come back, we'll be getting into WrestleMania itself. That's up next on Tights and Fights. Guys, this is the best time of year. We're in the home stretch right now. There's 48 hours or less left in Max Fun Drive 2018. So many of you have been showing your support, not only for the network as a whole, but
thank you.
We've done better this year than we did last year, and it's all thanks to you.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that it's almost over, you know? It's just, it's such a great time of us being grateful to our listeners and telling them how much we appreciate them and showing them everything that we do for them. But, you know, we're going to go out with a bang, not with a whimper. It's going to be
right,
great.
Other than all of the times I love on you and we all love on you, I am so in love with our community. The Tights and Fights community is a place where you can go away from the toxic BS of a lot of fandoms. And sometimes, and not all the time, but sometimes, but not all the time, but sometimes, but not all the time, wrestling can definitely be one of those fandoms. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like when you come into like any of the Tights and Fights conversations or like any of the groups, the group on Facebook, when y'all talk on Twitter, it's just like, oh, I'm like in a cool water. I'm like on vacation. The sand, like the water is clear, the sand is beautiful and white, and I just get to hang out with all my friends.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, the network that we're on, Maximum Fun, and this show is 100% listener supported. You've never heard a single ad on our show. That's because everything that keeps the lights on right now is because of you. Maybe one day we'll have ads and that'll be great, but even then, we're still going to rely on your support, your contributions, and your membership to keep us going. And this is the best time to do it, and I'm going to tell you why. There are tons of great contribution and member gifts at a bunch of different levels, and we're going to go over them with you during the next break. But for now, for those of you who are already supporting us, thank you. For those of you who are just learning about this now and are excited to do it, hit pause as soon as we're done telling you how and go do it right now while it's fresh, while you're excited about it. Here's what you do. You go to MaximumFun.org/donate. You give your credit card information, you set up an ongoing monthly contribution at whatever level you feel comfortable. If you're doing great at your job, you can give more. If things are a little tighter, you can give less. Whatever amount you can give is great and greatly appreciated. Now, here's the important thing. When you are setting up that membership, you're going to be asked which shows on the Maximum Fun Network you listen to. And it's very important, if you want to support our show directly, that you click Tights and Fights, because the shows that you pick when you set up that membership, not only tells the network what you listen to, but it tells the network that you want your contribution to be split among those shows. That is the only way that your contribution will directly benefit Tights and Fights. It takes like 30 to 45 seconds to do in total, and you're going to feel amazing. You're not even going to believe how good you feel when you're done doing it.
Exactly. I feel like what's interesting is that if somebody listens to a lot of shows across Maximum Fun, they've heard what these benefits are and what the great things that you can do when you go to MaximumFun.org/donate. They've heard it a lot at this point, and they feel good every single time they hear it because they know that they've had a direct hand in making sure that shows like this one continue, and they know that, you know, we're out here trying to supplement people's wrestling fandom. It can be a lonely experience, and I know that a lot of people have found friends inside of our Facebook group.
They have meetups without us. Yeah. They all the time will be like, hey, I'm in this city. Can y'all come hang out? Hey, I'm in this city. Let's have a Tights and Fights meetup. Y'all are hanging out and becoming friends through this podcast. And to me, that is the most important thing about doing this. And that is the thing that makes me happy that we are in this wrestling space, is that we are creating so many good friends and good friendships.
So go ahead right now, MaximumFun.org/donate. Set up that membership. Don't forget to check the box for Tights and Fights. If you want us to see some of that contribution, let's get back to the show.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined in the booth by
Danielle Radford.
And
not Mike Eagle. It's Julian Burrell.
The longest WrestleMania in history is done, and all that's left to do is discuss what happened, like the marks that we are. Overall, I would say two matches in to the main card. I did not get to watch the pre-show until later. Mm-hmm. I was ready to go, this is the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
Mm.
And then the Daniel Bryan match happened, and it was fine. And then everything after that was a steady stream of, okay, all right, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. Like, I liked AJ Styles, Shinsuke. I thought it was good. It is not what everybody, like, what you would expect. It's, if you want to see a better match, watch what they did at Wrestle Kingdom.
And that's not
your fault. Wrestle Kingdom 11 or 10? It's not their fault.
That's not your fault for feeling that way.
It is not my fault for feeling that way.
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. Did not maximize their time. I'm glad that did not close the show because I think it would have been disappointing. It would have spoken poorly of both men.
And
not that it was a bad match. It was a good match. I was excited for it.
They weren't advertising this as just another title match, though. This was the dream match between these two people. So I don't blame you.
I don't think they did a good job of setting it up. But I will say that the Shinsuke heel turn has done more to invest me in his character than anything they've had him do since he got called up to the main roster.
I think it's great. We know y'all can do better. We've seen y'all do better. Sometimes we've seen y'all do better on other opponents on a Tuesday.
Yeah, and I love Shinsuke. I didn't realize how much I loved him until I was watching this match because I was sitting there in my Shinsuke Nakamura shirt.
Right.
And I was so ready for this to be his coronation. And I understand that, like, objectively, this was a good, not a great match. But it was the match that I was most emotionally invested in. Like, I was the whole time just saying, like, and when he nailed his knee right into that top turnbuckle, I cringed pretty hard because that was, like, the first pang I thought where I thought, oh, shit, he's going to lose.
Yeah.
And then I just kept watching, and I'm like, he's going to fucking lose. And then he lost, and I was just ready to, like, throw my fucking shirt at the TV because I was going to get pissed. When he got down on one knee to give AJ the title, I'm like, don't fucking do that. Don't have, like, the Asian guy on his knees in subjugation to the white man who just beat him.
And then
freaking hit him right in the nuts.
And I was like, fuck yes.
Thank God.
As soon as he got down on one knee, I was like, nah, this is a heel turn.
Yeah.
Because this is because... I think that Shinsuke talks just fine, but obviously WWE feels like his accent is too heavy to have him do a lot of it with his words or whatever. And he is amazing with his body, so you have to do it with his body. I'm like, yeah, the only way you can really do it with him, because we've seen the handshake into the whatever and we would expect that.
Right.
So the one knee into the, that's not something we'd seen, I don't think.
Yeah. No.
And you know what? Honestly, though, you said they weren't trusting him to do the stuff on the mic. I think now, like, after what we saw on SmackDown with him cutting, like, just basically saying two sentences to Renee, I think that that pretty much set the tone that this is a Shinsuke that's in favor of chaos. Like, he is out there to just cause chaos in any way he can.
He's Joker Shinsuke.
Yeah.
And I'm super into Joker Shinsuke.
Shinsuke, look, clearly you're being very disingenuous. Please, can you give me an answer why you attacked AJ Styles?
Sorry, no speak English.
Yeah. So then he breaks up a match on SmackDown, just to wrap up where that story is headed, between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. They're having a tremendous match.
Yeah, very good.
And then Shinsuke comes in, gets, I don't know if it was nuclear heat, but it was getting pretty close.
It was good heat, yeah.
How excited would you be to see a triple threat match between those three guys?
That's a lot of fun. I think that the three of them, that would be like the right amount of storytelling and high fast-paced action that we kind of expect from triple threats these days.
Yeah.
I think that, like, and we all know that they complement each other's styles well. And oh, and also say this about Shinsuke as a heel. My favorite things that Shinsuke did in the past year when he was on SmackDown weren't his entrance. They weren't like when he was just doing his normal stuff. It was whenever he would get pissed off. Like, you saw it at Money in the Bank when Corbin attacked him before he could get out to the ring. He came out with a look that was just great, and he just started killing everybody that was in the ring.
Yes.
So if this heel turn means that it's going to be a vehicle to us getting more of that kind of stuff, I'm all in favor of it. Just don't fuck it up, WWE, please, God.
My feeling about the triple threat is that it will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put all three of them in the mix, then you can do two dudes, but two dudes, and then two dudes. It gives you.
I will say that the thing that I love about two dudes when I say two dudes, and the thing that I love about two dudes is because I feel like you can tell more of a story with two dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So you say two dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about three dudes.
You say to Dudezo, I say to Dato, to Dudezo, to Dato.
Let's talk about three dudes who opened the show. Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, and The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship.
Can I have a moment on Finn's entrance?
Oh, yeah.
Just
sure.
give me a moment. There was so much motherfucking beautiful queerness at this WrestleMania that I cried my little fucking face off.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of queer gear. And then on top of that, for Finn to essentially hold a pride parade as his entrance. And again, I've talked about, you know, the way that I felt about, as a woman fan, I felt about how WWE treats women. As a black fan, the way that I feel like WWE has treated black folks. I haven't had too much of an opportunity to talk about how they have treated queerness and queer folks. Watching this has been one of those moments where I was like, Finn's not like, if he's queer, we don't know it. He's definitely not out. He could just be a really strong fucking straight ally who was tired of the nonsense that he saw.
Right.
And
the Balor Club community.
The Balor Club community. And if he, I will say this, if he is an ally, that is how you fucking ally.
Yeah.
You give your time and you spotlight it and you make sure that you put at least the concerns, if not the people, because obviously we don't know that all of those people up there were queer. But if nothing else, you put a bunch of fucking people in shirts that say, you are welcome. Wrestling is for everyone. If no one else is going to give you love and represent you, then motherfucker, it's going to be me. And I'm at least, if I'm not, you know, a queer person, I'm going to give you space to be here. That means something. Yeah. And that was a very nice thing. And there was some queer representation in this WrestleMania because we know we've got a fucking queer lady wrestler, and she is out.
Yeah.
And they haven't made it part of her storyline, but part of her storyline right now is just, I want to beat people in the face. And that's also a pretty great storyline for a wrestler, so yeah. I'm okay with it.
And a hell of a match.
Hell of a match.
Great roller coaster to get us going. Fast
yes.
pace. Everybody got their shit in.
Right guy won.
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry. Yeah, it kind of made me sad. I like Seth just fine. He's not my favorite guy, but I do know he's very talented and he's very popular, so I'll take it, sure.
And I think he'll help keep that title elevated.
True, very true, because I think The Miz might be going on paternity leave very soon. So.
Good. I hope he does.
I hope he does, too. He already knows how to do nappy, which, I mean, he should.
He's a swaddler. He's a championship swaddler.
It's so cute.
Undertaker showed up to defeat John Cena, what ended up being a total squash.
Yeah.
Who it was that put this out there that said it. I think it might have been JBL. It was like, what a show of respect to one of the legends in the business. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, yeah. Yeah, there was. You didn't need a full match there. The time for that to be a dream match was over.
No.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah.
We got what we needed. They came out, popped the crowd. If you were the Rolling Stones and you just came out and played like Satisfaction or...
Yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to be bad?
Yeah, Sympathy for the Devil. That's enough. Like the crowd will pop for it. Then you can go. It's fine.
Yeah, what you can do.
And like, I honestly think everybody kind of like for our collective like conscious, I think we needed to see Undertaker... like do a thing that reminded us that character is forever.
Yeah.
That character isn't a broken old man. He's a badass who has supernatural powers and can basically give you a massive bump by looking at you funny, which was great. Thumbs up, Taker.
Like he is a legend. We put legends over with the idea that they're legends and that's what they deserve. And that is what Taker deserves.
Ronda Rousey has her in-ring debut alongside Kurt Angle and they beat Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. We certainly talked a lot about how she looked and what her training might be. I thought she looked like a bona fide star. I thought almost everything she did looked good. I am 100% in to see where she goes next. Obviously, the three of them were able to protect her, but there were times where she had to be in the ring by herself. And she, you know, certainly the person that you're beating up has to make what you do look good, but you have to make it look real. And she 100% did that.
Yo, they worked us. And thank you, God, because I would rather... I have talked about this before. Work me, baby. Please fucking work me. Please make me wrong. There is nothing I like more than for you to set my expectations low and then meet them beyond what I ever could have. Oh my God, please fucking work me. I love it. And her counters, my dudes?
Yeah. Yeah, she was quick the entire time. Like her punches were on point. I don't know if I'm quite as enamored with her as the crowd at large appears to be. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people, I could not believe how, like, I want to say from that first Raw that she was on, I could not believe how popular she is and how much people are willing to chant Ronda Rousey, clap, yeah. clap, 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 clap. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, like, good for her. I still would really like her to somehow, some way apologize for the terrible trash things that she said in the past. Which, like, if she
agreed,
if she just
sure,
she could even do the Obama thing of I've come around on, I've evolved on that type of stuff and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I don't care. Just fucking do it. It's a publicly traded company. It's be a star is like a huge thing with them. Just disavow what you said and just let me be all right with this 100%.
I agree. And until she does that, I will never be 100% on it. Like, yes. And I understand that there are people who are. I understand that there are queer folks who are. But, like, her performance was great and it made me enjoy that match. I'm never going to be all in on, like I'm never going to be a Ronda Rousey fan.
Mm-hmm. I am buying no t-shirts.
Yeah,
sorry.
And I'm buying no t-shirts. And the way that, like, people used to be Stone Cold fans and stuff, I'm never going to be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But her matches at WrestleMania were good. Sure. At least it was enough where I was like, ugh, thank God.
Fair, yeah.
In the culmination of the most uncomfortable story of the event, Nia Jax beat Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. What do you do with Nia Jax now? I get that she's a sympathetic babyface. I get how they tried to build it. I don't. Obviously, none of us think they went about it the right way.
Not my fave.
But who can beat her?
All I can think about is how Danielle must have been smiling so much when she came out with that big smile, holding that title up over her head on Raw. And just like,
I mean, good for her.
No, that was great. It was great. And I loved it. But it was also just like, and I had a couple people in my mentions who were like, why don't you like it? Why don't you like it? Why? And I was like, I'm trying really hard not to, like, I don't argue online because it doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
But it's just like, in case I haven't been clear enough on why I hate the storyline, fat women are just fucking chilling our lives. And every time you see a fucking fat woman on TV, the whole storyline is about how, oh, my weight's holding me down. Oh, my weight does this. Oh, my weight does that. Every single day, all I do is get on the scale and then eat a candy bar and cry. That's not fucking my day. You know what my day is? My day is meeting deadlines. My day is making sure that I'm fucking connecting with the people that I love because I'm too busy to see them. My day is trying to figure out how the fuck I'm going to clean my apartment for the 11th day in a row. My day is trying to get more work. And WWE is also for kids. It's not just for me.
Yeah.
But just as someone who has lived in my body all of my life and who has only seen that kind of representation of fat women with, like, two exceptions. One of them is, like, Donna on Parks and Rec, where it's just, like, fat ladies living our best lives, whereas fat dudes get to live their best lives all the fucking time on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if for once I could just get something that wasn't tainted with this, like, if you're fat, you're sad.
Yeah. And Wahal, to answer your question about what we could do from here, I honestly kind of picture Nia losing that belt eventually by chicanery of some sort.
Right.
I could honestly, I see it like sort of like how Daniel Bryan also ran away from Big Show and Mark Henry, these people that could obviously murder him if they got their hands on him. And they're going to just do that to kind of like get that title off of her eventually. I'd like to see her have a little bit of a run at the top to kind of keep this moment going.
I would like to at least see her have it through SummerSlam,
sure.
I think.
Yeah, that's usually like a Mania to SummerSlam reign is a pretty safe bet.
All right, let's talk about the most nonsensical title match in recent history. Braun Strowman won the tag titles along his newly adopted son, Nicholas.
Oh,
then on Raw the next night, they relinquished the titles because the kids got school. Hey, here's some fantasy booking. Why not just have Alundra Blaze come in and put the tag titles in a fucking trash can? Why would you devalue the titles, devalue the bar, just for the sake of a pop? I get that Braun is, you're going to tell me that Braun Strowman is so powerful that one of the smartest and established as the strongest wrestler on the roster, and also Sheamus, who's a badass bludgeoner himself.
Multiple-time world champion.
And they're cheaters. Can't figure out a way to beat Braun Strowman and a fucking kid. You really want, and then he wins the titles and then has to relinquish them. He doesn't say, I'm going to get a new partner, or these titles are important to me, so I want them for myself, and I'll beat the bar alone to do it.
Yes, I'll pick a new kid every single week.
This is the laziest fucking booking. Fucking hated it so much. I hate it so much. It made me so angry. And I love Braun Strowman. I love the way that they build him. The bar I've been kind of lukewarm on, but I want them to be built up. Had he beaten them on his own and somehow overcome their cheating, I think I would have been okay with that.
I wanted him to do it on his own.
Yeah, then he goes on a run with where he's a one-man tag titles, and who can take the titles off of him? At least that's an interesting story. Yeah. Instead, we got a one night only, and I hate a one night only.
If you're gonna have a kid, be the kid that is the tag team champs. Maybe don't make it the kid that's like related to somebody who works for you.
Yeah.
Maybe pick like a Make-A-Wish kid or like something like that.
Oh, that would have been dope if they did that.
I assumed that Nicholas was a Make-A-Wish kid.
Oh, that would have been so sick if they did that.
I assumed he was a kid that they got out of like a local production of Oliver.
Please,
sir, can I have some more titles?
Mania.
God damn it, kid. Get me the Artful Dodger. I want him in here.
Yeah, if there would have been like a Make-A-Wish kid or something like that, then I would have been like, okay, because that's also part of what Mania does. I have so many feelings about Nicholas. If I was a child and my folks worked for the WWE, I would have been all about... I mean, obviously, it's not Nicholas's fault. Nicholas is a fucking kid.
If I'm a 9-year-old and they're telling me I get to go into a wrestling ring, you best believe I'd accept that.
When I was 14, my sister's friend was supposed to drive me to school, and she was like, do you want to drive? And I was like, yes. And she was like, can you drive stick? And I was like, yes. And we didn't make it out of the parking lot.
I want to be a grown-up for one day.
Yeah, I want to do it for one day. That's what you do. My fantasy booking, and again, this is where I get myself into trouble because my idea is always better than anyone else's idea, right? Because I came up with it, was every time they were going to do a match, you literally had a note from Nicholas's dad that was like, oh, this is why Nicholas can't wrestle today, so it's just going to be Braun.
Yeah.
At least something so you keep up that thing where it's like, it's clearly just supposed to be Braun fighting, and that is a funny story. And then you can keep having really funny reasons for why Nicholas can't be there, and then someone can go mega heel and track the kid down at his school and try to like drag him into coming in. That's funny.
Yeah.
Instead, now we just have like another tournament or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'll just say this really quick, because I'm not a fan of any one person being the tag team champions.
If you can punch an ambulance, I am.
But like, I hated it so much when Roman did it a couple years ago when he beat Gallows and Anderson, who were the tag champs at the time. I think it's just like, it's such a sign Vince hates or doesn't get tag teams, which we've heard so many times. It's such a like, well, I don't really get what these two do, but I do like my big guy over here. I want to see him. So then people will know how strong. And I fucking can't stand it. It infuriates me every time I see it. Just busting me.
I would have rather that Braun Strowman was not involved with the tag titles. I would have rather that he was involved with the Universal title.
And then you had an actual
tag team division, but getting it the way that we got it. And then, you know, just, yeah, but yeah, that's what we
got. It is what it is.
Let's take a quick break to talk about Max Fun Drive and tell you about some of the pledge gifts that are available. And when we come back, we're going to motor through the rest of this. You're listening to Tights and Fights. We told you that we had gifts for you. It's Max Fun Drive. Of course we do. For those of you who are new or upgrading members, there are tons of great gifts available. And we're going to give you just a sampling of that. But please know this. At whatever level you come in or upgrade to, if it is above some of these gifts, you'll receive all of them. At the $10 level, you get the 10 and 5. At the $35 level, you get the 35, the 20, the 10, and the 5. Let's crunch the numbers like Dana Brooke, and let's get into it. At the $5 level, $5 per month, recurring, you get bonus content. Not just for our show, which is a great recap of WrestleMania X7, but you get bonus content.
Brought to you by Snickers Crunchers.
Snickers Crunchers brings this to you. Snickers brings you everything. Snickers has WrestleMania on lock, except for like one SmackDown match, which is Rocket League. Rocket League is bringing you bonus content from every single show in Max Fun. And if you're already a member, if you're at the $5 above level, you can go get that right now. Go check your email, homie. It's there for you. It's really, really awesome and a great way to learn about some of the other shows on the Max Fun Network. I can't personally recommend highly enough every other show on this network. It is a high caliber network, top to bottom.
Oh yeah, everybody. I know some people who actually discovered our show because they heard our bonus content last year. So I feel like this, it's going to be a great primer for some people who are just now getting into being a Max Fun member. They're going to get to hear WrestleMania X7 and say, "Oh yeah, that was that thing that I heard before The Rock became the president of the United States." And, you know, and now this is going to be great to see what he used to do as a day job before that.
What grim Logan's Run future are you setting up for the people listening right now, where The Rock, bless him, becomes our president? He doesn't need that. He needs to go make a million more Jumanji movies.
Rampage movies, all that good stuff, yeah.
Jumanji 2, Rampaged on the rundown.
This time in a different jungle.
Yeah. At the $10 level, if you like to not only listen to your podcasts but wear them, boy, do I have a gift for you. It is an enamel pin designed by Megan Lynn Cott. There are designs for every single show, so you can pick the one you want, but if I may just sway you for a moment, the Tights and Fights pin, y'all, it is beautiful. Yeah. It's a championship belt.
In fact, Danielle, what you wearing over there?
Oh, I'm wearing last year's dope pin, which is a Tights and Fights pin that is a chair in motion. And as it hits, the cloud says, a Tights and Fights.
Yes, and that Tights and Fights title pin is going to look so good next to that one. I can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I cannot wait until all of my jean jackets are just covered with Tights and Fights pin. Yeah. I'm going to look like a general. Oh, no. I'm going to look like, you know that manager who used to manage New Kids on the Block and all those bands? And at a certain point, he just decided he was a general and he would walk around with pins on his outfit. Sure. I would just walk around like that dude. Like, what up?
Yeah. You're going to look great.
What up? I'm part of Tights and Fights. You can tell I'm a Tights and Fights general because I got all these pins.
Hey, listen, I'm getting a job at Bennigan's just so I can show off my pins every day on my shift on my suspenders. I'm really psyched about it.
Oh, such good flair.
Speaking of flair, who likes cooking with flair? At the $20 level, not only do you get the pin, not only do you get the bonus content, you get the Max Fun Family Cookbook. This is recipes from all the hosts of different shows. There are representatives from every show in there. Cocktails, desserts, dinners. What do you need? You got it in there. It is all there for you. It is a wonderful culinary trip through the podcasts of Maximum Fun.
Well, and then I got other news for you at $20 a level because I wanted to make sure that people who contributed to Tights and Fights got something very special, all their own. Mm-hmm. So they are going to get their very own Tights and Fights branded wrestling nickname that you guys, Mike, I'm including him even though he's not here, Michael, you guys will all read them when this is all over. I'm going to give you guys a big list. I'm going to come up with the best names that I possibly can for all of these $20 and up contributors, and they are going to hear a brand new wrestling nickname just for them.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's going to be great.
And hey, when you're listening to your name being read aloud by the Nation of Conversation, why not have some cookies? And if you're going to have cookies, why not make them space-themed? Because you're getting a set of stainless steel space-themed cookie cutters along with that cookbook,
of
course, features the classic Max Fun rocket. You can make your own Max Fun logo, and then you can eat it up. This is your world now.
Yeah.
Your world.
You can get some little frosting and write your wrestling nickname on the cookie, and then you can just eat it.
That's God, can you send that to us if you do that?
Yeah, that'd be great. Please do.
All right, one more.
Oh my God, and dress it like your favorite wrestler. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm sorry.
All right, one more gift. You're getting the cookbook and the cookie cutters. You're getting the Megan Lynn Cott enamel pin. You're getting the bonus content. Guess what else you're going to get? A carafe. Is it for juice? Is it for wine? Guess what? It's all up to you. It is laser engraved with the Max Fun Rocket logo on it.
Yeah.
So whatever you're drinking it in style, and you're thinking of your favorite podcast. You're wearing the pin. You're listening to the bonus content. You're hearing your wrestle name read out loud while you make a cocktail to put in the carafe. And you eat a rocket cookie.
Yeah. You can fill it full of milk and just dip the rocket cookie right in there.
Or you can fill it full of milk and you can recreate that classic Kurt Angle angle.
Milkomania is running wild.
He's just dumping milk on his boss. parens, if you dump milk on your boss, we are not responsible for you being fired.
Sorry about that.
Or you just fill it with different colors of sand in different strata and make art. It's up to you. The world is your oyster. These are all gifts that you get, but here's how you get them. This is the most important part. I want you to go to MaximumFun.org/donate. This is going to take like 30, 45 seconds max. You're going to set up your monthly recurring contribution. You put your credit card information. You tell them who you are, just standard stuff. But here is the kicker and the most important part. At the bottom of that page, you're going to see a grid with icons for all the different podcasts on the Maximum Fun Network. You have to tell Maximum Fun who benefits from your contribution. And you do that by checking off those shows. And we sure hope that we are one of those shows that you check off. Do it right now. Now that I've described it, you're excited about these gifts. You love juice or milk or weird cocktails. You love cookies. You love bonus content and you love pins. Go get it right now. MaximumFun.org/donate. We'll wait here. And when you come back, we'll finish the show up for you.
Ties and Bites Podcast. Ties and Bites.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about debuts a little bit. We got a number of people showing up on the main roster after WrestleMania. We talked about Ember Moon. No Way Jose appeared. Man. The Authors of Pain and the Iconic Duo were all called up to Raw and SmackDown. And after nearly a decade-long absence, Bobby Lashley has returned to WWE.
It's so weird!
What was your favorite debut of all the new ones? I'll go first and say I love seeing the Iconic Duo up on
same,
the major roster.
Very same.
Mine was Ember Moon just because I love her, but also I am so happy. The Iconic Duo had a perfect debut, and it's exactly where they belong.
They came in and made an immediate impact beyond, look, they won a match, look at how talented these two are.
Yep, and SmackDown, it's exactly where they belong. I'm so excited.
Very true.
So in case you missed it, you've had a couple days. The 48 hours are up after a beatdown from the Iconic Duo. Who came down the ramp but Carmella to cash in her Money in the Bank? And I'll tell you what, when she won the title, I cried.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carmella is cashing in her Money in the Bank contract.
There's the bell. Here we go. Carmella with the kick. Charlotte Flair is down.
New champion.
I got very emotional because I like to see people achieve their dreams, and clearly she's someone who did, and I saw the reactions of people that she works with who were excited for her and happy for her, and that made me happy. How long do you go on a run with someone like her as champion?
I think that if they allow her to get to the funny, if they allow her to combine that funniness that she had during the mixed match challenge with her heeliness, she could go for a year. She could be a star with that if they let her do that. If not, she will lose it at SummerSlam.
And I think Charlotte is, I think Charlotte's coming after her with a vengeance at this point, because at this point, like kayfabe, Charlotte is the most powerful woman on either brand, I think, after she took down Asuka. She just, I think it's just like in terms of hierarchy, she's kind of cemented herself there. She could afford to take this loss this way.
Other than Ronda Rousey.
It's fucking.
How the booking is, Julian.
Anyway.
Let's talk about the saddest moment of the week. And we are going to get back to WrestleMania, I promise, after this. Paige has officially retired from in-ring competition due to neck injuries, but on the positive side, the clouds have parted and she is now the GM of SmackDown Live.
Yep.
Given the limited amount of time she had in WWE, how hard a hit is this to see her not in ring anymore? It's obviously great to have her around, but to me, I liked her in ring, but I also think she's got so much value as a talker that I feel bad for her not to be able to compete.
Right.
As a fan and just someone who ingests the product, the fact that she'll be around is kind of enough for me.
I agree, because she had a fuck of a career for how young she is.
She's only 26.
Yeah, she is one of those people. Yes, it would have been nice to see her with additional belts always, but like she does have more ahead of her if she wants to.
Yeah.
She can be an actor. Mm-hmm. She can, like, she can study, and while she's doing this GM thing is a perfect time, she can take classes at UCB. She can take classes. She can get a private coach.
Yeah,
she could probably have them pay for one for her and then do WWE movies and things and transition into being an actress.
Yeah.
She has the talent to be able to do so. It's a shitty silver lining, but it's not all dark cloud.
All right. Daniel Bryan makes his return to the ring, teaming with Shane McMahon to defeat Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which means that they are officially out of a job. God, they're so good. I love...
Yeah.
Well, let's talk briefly first about Daniel Bryan coming back. I had a problem with them taking him out, like doing the quasi-stretcher job early and then bringing him back later, because it took the oxygen out of the match until he returned.
Yeah, I see how that could be an issue. Mm-hmm. But I think personally, my favorite thing about Daniel Bryan was like, yes, I love seeing him triumph. Yes, I love seeing him as champion and doing all these cool things. Like, we fell in love with him when he was getting his ass kicked and when he was just getting unfairly beaten up every single week. So I guess that was kind of a way to get a little bit of that in this microcosm of a match before he did essentially what he always did, which was come back, beat up the bad guys and say yes. So I'm in favor of that, and I think that this match was what it needed. I liked all the kicks to Shane's stomach to accentuate his diverticulitis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every time Daniel clutches his head, I'm going to be wondering, is that real or is it not? So it's great and terrible at the same time.
Oh, no. He was doing that, and I was like, I hate this. But you would see him grabbing the ropes more to, like, break his fall and do other things.
Right.
And he's so good and quick that he can do such a thing. I don't know. It didn't bug me that they took him out because I was just like, yeah, he tie-tie. He hasn't done this long of a match in a second. He tie-tie. He'll get it back.
You could also knock him off the ropes once and just not have him tag in. You could make people wait to tag him in rather than he's injured and out.
Right.
That was the problem I had, because then you miss out on, like, a tag match is essentially the build to the hot tag.
Right.
And you're not building to the hot tag as well when Daniel Bryan is out as you can, stirring the emotion up, heat on Zayn and Owens more as they find different ways to keep Shane from making that tag.
Yeah,
They had to truncate it.
I do think that they were trying to build up the tension of, oh no, he just came back.
Right.
Yeah.
Which they did in me, because I was like, I literally tweeted like, I hate this. And then I think like 3 minutes later, okay, I love this.
Yeah, they could do that. They could have saved that for another time. I don't think they needed to do it here.
Right.
It was a hat on a hat for me.
So many hats.
Now Sammy and Kevin are looking for jobs. So they showed up on Raw and Kurt Angle had this suggestion.
Okay, well, my tag team division is full, but I hear that TNA is hiring.
And if we were putting something over, I would have put over Kevin Owens taking the Blue Thunder Bomb, because as he's up in the air spitting, he's going, no. They're so good together. They're so good together as friends. They're so good together as enemies. I'm really excited to see where they end up. Wherever they go, I hope they're together. And I personally would rather see them back on SmackDown, on a show where they can run it.
Yes.
I think on Raw, they get lost in the shuffle away.
With Paige as the GM who doesn't put up with any shit, unlike Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Charlotte versus Asuka was...
Well, let's talk about
okay,
the best match of WrestleMania, the match that should have closed the show.
100%.
That was great. Like, best match on the card. The triple threat was very good. This was not even a little bit better. It was like a full unit better.
Yes. It is kind of weird that we had the two best matches at the start of the show.
Right. Yes.
But it was amazing. I thought that I was not really in favor of breaking the streak, but you know what? Like, if it had to happen, I would rather it happen the way it did.
Yes.
After a great match.
Yeah.
And I would rather than, like, some people were saying, I want Carmella to cash in. Absolutely goddamn not. I did not want her to be the one to break the streak.
But
I
that they didn't. Yeah.
No
and
way.
I've talked about how I've thought that the figure eight's kind of stupid, but the fact that she had been working those legs, which is Asuka's strong suit, and then did the one-handed where it's like, oh, that actually puts pressure on the leg and becomes like a move, plus it showcases how strong Charlotte is. You go.
Yes.
That's dope.
And they sold it really well. They were like, she's posting with one arm. Like, that was a great sell job.
Well, the reason why I think this would have been a great main event isn't just because it was the best match. It's because that image of Charlotte and Asuka hugging at the end would have been a great standing ovation, pyro and sparklers and everything goes
streamers.
Off.
Streamers.
Yeah.
everything goes off. That's your lasting image of Mania right there.
And
that
then maybe all of the women pour out of the locker room just because I always think that that's a really strong
You get
strong
your
visual.
WrestleMania 10 when all the baby faces came out to congratulate Brett. You get that with all the women coming
just
out?
Just like that kind of stuff. That, to me, I think you end Mania on a standing ovation with fireworks and everybody happy. I do not think you do what you fucking did this year.
Well, and considering they're about to go to Saudi Arabia where the women are not even on the fucking card, might have been a good idea to close the show with your best match. And, well, we'll talk about that next week. But yes, great match of the night. But let's talk let's talk about the match that closed the show. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. Not as good as the other ones.
Wasn't.
Here's the story that would have worked. And I had a full conversation with my friend Johnny about this, who is a Brock mark. And you can text me about it all you want, Johnny.
Brock
you
mark.
Know you're a mark for Brock. You admit it. You
Brock
admit
mark.
It.
Brock,
again,
Brock.
This is not on Brock. Brock is who he is. He deserves to try and make all the money he can make. This is booking decisions only. I was interested in this match on how they were selling it, and then I saw the match and remembered why I didn't want to see it, because it was every Brock Lesnar match I've ever seen, and there was no difference, and there hasn't even been storytelling over the years with the two of them.
Agreed.
If this is what would have worked for me, and maybe this is just me, if every single match Reigns had gotten a little closer to a win, then I would have been invested whether he won or lost.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you see the same match, and apparently, if the rumors and innuendo are to be believed, they made an audible to have Brock keep the title because the crowd hated it so much. You had beach balls going.
Oh, good.
We had this is boring.
I mean, it was also because, like, it was the same match they've always done. Plus, it was super late. It was super late here in California. How late was it in Louisiana?
Yeah.
And plus, I'm just like,
after
I know
how much
that,
wrestling.
Like, I understand that WWE has said before they are committed to Roman Reigns as their top guy. Like, in so many words, Triple H has come out and support. Vince has come out and support. They have got to do something about those goddamn crowds. Like, they have got to somehow tweak what they are presenting to keep people engaged, because it is like they've tried ignoring it, but it is affecting my like fandom as someone watching on TV at home. When I see people not paying attention, they're cheering at things I can't see when I'm trying to watch a wrestling match.
Right.
And it's just not working. It is like it actively makes the product worse. Like, and I get that's not necessarily Roman's fault. It's not necessarily the writer's fault. But there does need to be something where they say it might not be our fault. We need to still fix this anyway because it's our fucking TV show.
Like it is their TV show. They are the producers. I don't know. I wish that I, you know, well, if you offer a critique, offer a solution. I wish I could offer a solution because I do think that Roman Reigns is a hard worker. I do think that we've watched him, we get better. And I do think that we've seen him have great have great programs.
Yeah.
It's just, don't nobody care about Brock anymore.
Nah.
And the people that care about Roman, there are many who are incredibly passionate, but most of them, the kind of Roman breakdown, I would say about three. The people who are really passionate, the people who are willing to give him a chance because they understand that he's a good worker, and the people who fucking hate him.
Yeah.
And so when you have a program between someone who people don't care about because all of his matches are a foregone conclusion, and then you have someone who splits the crowd in so many ways, that's just not a good match.
Yeah, and like I thought that what would have redeemed it would have been Roman's going to win, and it'd have been like, okay, fine, like means to an end, we got the title off of Brock, but they didn't do that. Now it's like Roman essentially looks like an idiot because for a year...
A bloody idiot.
Like that Crimson Mask was fucking terrifying.
Oh, I hated it.
Leave
his face alone.
Yeah, we had to listen for a year him say, I'm the only one who can beat Brock Lesnar, and he looked like an idiot out there. He got brutalized by Brock, and so he wasn't the one. He really wasn't. He looked like terrible out there.
I want to put a pin in that for just a second because I want to come back to it. I just want to add that none of us should have been surprised. Brock has one match That's the match Dean Ambrose had to have with him. That's the match John Cena has with him. You either have chemistry with him or you don't. And Roman can work with a lot of different people and have good matches. And it's absolutely not just because they're good and they're carrying him. He knows how to contribute to a match 100%. And tell a story.
Absolutely.
I do not put the blame on him. I don't put the blame on Brock. I put the blame on the booking.
Because at a certain point, you reach diminishing returns.
Yes. Absolutely. But you made a point that Roman keeps saying he's the only one who can beat Brock Lesnar. And then he loses over and over again. And I'll tell you somebody who agrees with you. It's the guy who came back Monday night. Here's a clip.
Well, allow me to bring you back to reality. Because you see, last night, Brock Lesnar didn't just beat you. No, he exposed you. And the reality is, no matter how many whispers you heard, no matter how many eyes couldn't meet you, you failed. And that makes you a failure.
That's right. Uncle Joe's back.
Preach, Joe.
Uncle Joe's back to save everything and everybody and make the world right again. I mean, how badly? Who do I have to pay besides the $9.99 to the fucking network to get to get the title on him and give Roman someone to chase who actually, like, you feel like he could win. He just hasn't yet. I think he's beaten Joe once.
Yes, once, which and that was right before Joe got injured and after Roman became the IC champion. And Joe is just a perfect foil at every single turn for Roman. They work each other well. Their styles are great. I just like he is, and I'm personally from SoCal. He reps SoCal very hard, I love that about him. I really think that, like, Joe and Roman, that's a program that I will be very invested in. As someone who is lukewarm on Roman and someone who is enamored with Samoa Joe, I think that we need to move on from Brock Lesnar. I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
And I'm just ready.
Again, who are those matches for? Like, it's not getting, and at this point, it's going into the negative, and they have to recognize that. If what you wanted was the hot MMA style that would bring a star that would bring people over, well, now you have Ronda, and that's working. So then why do we need, and it looks like they're not going to put her into
She's
that kind
time.
Of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it looks like they're not going to put her into that program. They're going to put her into a classic Austin McMahon program, which is perfect, I think.
Yeah.
Specifically because Stephanie is so great on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can just have Ronda sit there and make stink face. So what are we doing with Brock? What purpose does he serve now?
Where do you put this in the pantheon of all-time WrestleManias? I would put it middle of the road, eking towards the top.
Saved by a couple of fantastic matches. And also, I will just sneak in that I loved that Naomi won. I thought it was weird that they added uterine lining onto the uterus.
it's a straight-up uterus.
Yeah, they added added red uterine lining ribbon.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking
weird.
She kissed a birth canal on SmackDown after she won her match.
Yes, and I'll just, in terms of where this one ranks for me, from a pure in-ring perspective, I thought it was there was really nothing wrong with it. Everything here was at least worth a watch. If you haven't seen anything yet, I think it's worth watching.
Yes.
I guess for me, what makes me love things like 22 more, 23 more, 30 more, X7 more, those WrestleManias sent the crowds home happy or they sent them home buzzing and excited.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't accomplish that. And I really hate to say that because I know everyone worked hard. I think that maybe some people going over when others didn't might have helped, but I think that's where it is. I think it just goes back to that main event not quite doing what they wanted it to do, and that really hurts. So,
if you've got any thoughts on the final lead-up to WrestleMania, WrestleMania itself, or the shows after, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram, too. That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, so support us at MaximumFun.org/donate. This week, our hosts were Daniel Radford and Julian Burrell, along with me, Hal Lublin. Anything specific you guys want to put over?
Okay, so for me, as you guys know, we are wrapping up the Max Fun Drive this Friday, Friday the 13th. So yeah, if you are in the Los Angeles area, please come out to Angel City Brewery this Friday, it's going from 7 to 9. I'm going to be co-hosting with one of the head writer of International Waters, Riley.
Oh, I love Riley.
Riley is the best. Yeah. She makes me super happy.
It's gonna be great.
So we're going to be up there, a co-hosting and a flirting, and you're going to see a lot of your Max Fun faves. So please come out, please hang out, and I will see you there.
Yas. And for me, one thing that I know you guys might want to do as you are going over to Angel City Brewery to hang out with Danielle and company, you guys might want something to listen to, and get this. Tights and Fights is going to have a special second episode on Friday.
What?
It's going to be great. I'm so excited for this. We love to do extra little special things for you guys whenever it's this time of year at Max Fun Drive. And it's going to be two interviews. One of them is going to be with a comic book artist and author named Box Brown, who wrote a comic book about Andre the Giant called Andre the Giant Life and Legend. We're going to talk to him a little bit about his experience writing a biography for Andre the Giant. And the second one is going to be with a filmmaker named Chris Bournet, who made an amazing documentary about Black women wrestlers in the 50s and 60s. We're going to try and get both of these guys on the show when they're back in LA so we can hang out with the full team. But these are going to be great little primers on their work, who they are. They're really, really great guys and their projects that you can keep an eye on. So I really hope you guys listen.
Our producer today is Jesus Ambrosio. Thank you for working the board for us, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and on Instagram. Don't forget Instagram. If you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to the Maximum Fun members who make this show possible. Special thank you during Max Fun Drive. If you are not a member yet and you want to become one, it's super easy. Go to MaximumFun.org/donate. There are tons of gifts. This is through Friday the 13th, so you have until the strike of midnight into Saturday tomorrow. That is Friday if you are listening to this on the day of release. Get involved. You'll feel better, and you'll be glad that you did it. We'll be back either way next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.